You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
30 Girls, Susan Minot's latest novel, follows the paths of two women. One, Esther, is a Ugandan schoolgirl who has been abducted by the Lord's Resistance Army and forced into a life of witnessing and participating in atrocities. The other, Jane, is an American writer who's come to Africa intending to interview some of the girls who have escaped from captivity. Both women are trying to reclaim their own lives and struggling to make sense of a world that can be brutal and full of loss. It's published by Alfred A. Knopf, and I'm very pleased that it has brought Susan Minot to our show again. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Isn't the abduction in this novel based on an actual incident?
Yes, it is.
What happened?
There were the LRA, which sort of terrorizes the north of Uganda, steals children from huts and kills families and stuff. And one night they stormed the dormitory of a Catholic boarding school in the north and took away a dorm full of girls. And one of the nuns who taught there went after them and talked to the rebels and convinced him to give some of the girls back.
So that's the basic plot of this book. But how close did you stick to the real story?
Well, that's the sort of organized, that's the story that's at the kernel of the novel. And most of the novel, at least from the Ugandan girl's point of view, is about her time with the rebels trying to live with what she's done during that time.
At this point, we kind of, I had hazy knowledge of Joseph Kony and the Lord's Resistance Army, but I think that this story, when it became a big news story, really made a lot of people aware of what was going on. Is that what happened with you?
No, I heard this story from just a person at a dinner party. It wasn't a big story. In fact, the surprise of it was that I didn't know anything about it, and I didn't know about Kony, and at the time no one else I knew about him either.
Why was the convent school unprotected that night? Why didn't the nuns realize at first that the girls had been taken?
It actually was Ugandan Independence Day, and there had been rumors that the rebels were nearby, and usually there were a couple of soldiers positioned there, and that Sunday night the soldiers didn't return. They figured they were off celebrating in some nearby town, and so the nuns bolted the girls inside the dorm and thought that the doors would hold. The doors did hold, but they stormed one of the windows and pulled the bars out.
And the first chapter is harrowing. It's a compellingly told from the point of view of Sister Julia, the school's headmistress. That's really most of what we get with her. And yet she seems to be part of the whole book. Her presence is somehow in the rest of the book as well.
Well, she's a heroic figure who we see. She catches up to the rebels and says, "Give me back my girls." And the commander says, "Okay, well, I've got 139 of them, and I'll give you 109, but I'm going to keep these 30. And she says, "No, no, take me. Let them all go free." And he says, "Deal or no deal." So she has to do this very difficult thing and take the girls that she's given.
Now, the other character, Jane, is how much is she based on you? You did go to Uganda to report on the situation.
That's always one of those percentage questions. You say 14% on page 12, 3.5% on page 109. You know,
we understand
it's
this
kind
is
of
a
an
novel.
Unanswerable question.
But what was that assignment? What were you sent to do?
I discovered the story myself, and I pitched it to a magazine to go write about it. It wasn't something I normally would have written about. My nonfiction was mostly sort of travel stories and stuff, not something like this.
When Jane is questioned about the assignment, she says, "It's not really my subject." And when she's asked, "What is her subject?" she says, "D." desire and death.
Well, those actually are two different scenes. She says it's not really her milieu that she writes about. I think she sticks with desire and death as her subject in writing the story, actually.
Well, these have been subjects that have been of interest to you going all the way back to the point where one of your books is called Lust.
And one of my books is about a woman on her deathbed. But this book, too, is a lot about desire and death.
Did you get to meet and talk to the nun who followed the rebels?
Yes, I did. Her name was Sister Raquel Facera, and she was quite a person.
How long did you spend in Africa researching that article?
I was there for probably 3 weeks, not even in Uganda the whole time. And this was a story I did 16 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't doing it to sort of research. I was going to report on this.
Obote back as president at that point?
No, it was Museveni.
Uh-huh. Oh, so he's been in power for a long time now. As a travel writer, I suspect you'd been to Africa before then.
I'd just recently spent some time in East Africa, in Kenya and Tanzania, and that's one of the reasons why the story appealed to me.
You said that the problem was that there had been a story about the abductions in a national magazine, so it wasn't a new story anymore, and suddenly there was no interest, despite the fact that this is such a dramatic event?
Well, it's not so much that there was no interest. After I wrote the story, I never heard anything more about it. You know, I don't really expect when I write fiction to hear about it, but I did with this.
Well, the reason I ask is I've talked to a number of people, African writers, and they say that they're always amazed by the way Westerners see Africa. And usually insulted by it.
I would say they don't see it.
Yeah, if they see it at all.
But, you know, it's not Americans' fault. I don't blame them. They haven't traveled there, and they're not exposed to it. And we certainly as a culture aren't trying to explore the difference in a lot of places in Africa.
Well, Jane comes to Africa and stays with an acquaintance she met working in London, and the group of people she falls in with decide to accompany her on the trip. Is life in Africa so unstructured that this kind of spontaneous trip is not atypical?
I've seen that so unstructured kind of life there, yeah.
I get the sense from this book that there's a different sense of time.
That's true.
Well, for example, she meets the mother of one of the girls and says, "I hope you weren't waiting." And the woman replies, without irony, "Only 5 hours."
As a friend of mine said, one learns to wait in Africa.
And why is that?
I don't have an answer for that. But it's a different lifestyle, certainly.
And then for Westerners as well, you write about NGOs. They arrive in a place where they're looking to find Jane's contact at an NGO called World Vision, and there are lots of different NGOs around.
Teaming with them.
Do they operate like competing corporations? They have a lot of signs. Are they advertising? Hey, come to my NGO.
No, I think it's just an industry there. I'm not sure. You know, there may be a little bit of competition, but it sounds like from just even all the names you see that they are specialized in little different areas. So they're covering different things.
My guest is Susan Minot, whose latest book is a novel called 30 Girls. The official in charge of rehabilitation at World Vision, this NGO, describes the plight of the children who have escaped captivity as hopeless. Do the people who work for and operate the NGOs have disdain for journalists who arrive to write a story?
Well, you know, I would not generalize about the employees of these NGOs, but I think for the most part they're trying to communicate what's going on. So
Well, from this book, I get the impression that there are two Africas, for Westerners anyway. One is a bohemian, exotic place of creative expats. It's kind of wild and free, not unlike that of what Isaac Dinesen described way back when. And the other is a world of poverty and violence inhabited by employees of NGOs. Is that fair?
I'd say it's also mainly inhabited by Africans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I said the Western.
The Western part of it there. Those are certainly two entities in Africa. Yeah, I wouldn't say they're the only ones.
Well, Jane, who's new to Africa, is shocked, but so are her traveling companions who have lived there. Is Uganda especially bad place? I thought Uganda was seen as one of the more stable countries of Africa.
Well,
until recently with these terrible new homophobic laws.
Yeah, well, I think it's still considered stable, but that was one of the horrifying things about this situation is that it was in a very poor northern part of Uganda where children and, you know, impoverished rural workers were being, affected. So,
and people are mutilated, you point out.
Mm-hmm. But nothing, it wasn't a sort of national concern, really.
Why is Joseph Kony's Lord's Resistance Army so brutal?
Why are people violent? it's a puzzling question.
Well, he claims God has sent him.
Yeah, he's. I would say he's kind of a nut. You know, he's kind of a cult leader more than they call themselves the rebels. But there isn't really some government they're trying to overthrow. They just, murder, maim, rape, and pillage.
Meanwhile, we have Jane's personal life here. She was married to an addict who died, and now she has an affair with a much younger man. So speaking of your specialty of desire and death, even as her body is coming alive, she's anticipating the end of this relationship.
Well, I think she sees that with a much younger man, it's not promising. So there maybe isn't much of a future. She recognizes that even as she's swept up in it.
By contrast, you have very vivid descriptions of Esther, the girl who was taken into captivity, her way of dealing with the sex that she was forced on her while she was a captive. How did she manage?
Well, she leaves her body. She tries not to focus on what's happening when she's being raped.
How, in the end, I can't go into all the details in any way. I don't think you want me to. A lot of spoilers.
No.
But how does one keep from feeling hopeless in a situation like that or in an environment like that?
Well, some people don't keep from feeling hopeless. Some surrender to it. But, life continues on even as one is filled with despair. So that pushes people on, I think.
Well, Esther tries to help others, and that's her way of getting past it. But not everybody winds up being a social worker after they've been held in captivity by Joseph Kony's Lord's Resistance Army.
No.
Do you you expect Western readers to gain new insight into Africa? Do you think that we have a totally distorted view of it?
Like I say, I don't think it's distorted. It's just sort of blurred. I don't know what really, I think people have an impression generally of violence that happens over on, it's a huge continent full of many, many countries and many different landscapes and different peoples. And so there are little, slivers that come to us that are the big stories, the worldwide stories. So, no, I don't think people know that much about it. This is a very particular place and story, and I thought by particularizing it, one will feel a human connection, not so much with Africa, but with just people in another place.
Susan Meinert is a short story writer, a poet, a screenwriter, and a novelist whose latest novel is called 30 Girls. It's published by Knopp. Thank you so much for being with us again.
Thank you. My pleasure.